I just want to turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Last week we talked about the grace of God and certain aspects of grace, and talked about the how much misunderstanding there is about grace. Everybody talks about grace, doesn't really understand what grace is, and I'm sure none of us really have a total concept of all that God's grace includes and implies. But this morning I want to talk to you about our new relationship with grace. And I wanted to use Romans chapter 7 as the place to do this. And we'll begin reading there in verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man, as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, when Paul writes this letter to the Romans, he uses really two analogies to try to demonstrate the fact that we're not under the law. And when I say we're not under the law, I want you to understand that Paul's early epistles and the teachings that he had about not being under the law would probably be far more significant to the people that he was writing to at that time than they would to us, in the sense that he's writing to a lot of people that had been under the law, that had been law practicers like himself that we read about this morning in Philippians chapter 3. He said, as touching the law, he was blameless, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. We know that in Paul's early epistles, in his early ministry, he went to the Jew first. When he went into a new city, he went into the synagogue first. And as he preached there, obviously, he was preaching to those who were practicing the law. That's what Israel was all about. They were under that law system. And so, interestingly enough, what you find in the early epistles of Paul, in Romans, for example, Paul mentions the law some 80 times. In the book of Galatians, he mentions the law over 30 times. And in Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, he mentions it 12 different times. So in those epistles alone, the Apostle Paul makes reference to the law 122 times. After Paul's early ministry, when you read the later letters, there's only 8 mentions of the law in all of his other epistles. 8 verses 122. Now, I said that to say this. Even though we were never under the Mosaic law as such, there are people today that submit themselves to the Mosaic law. But there's also that law system today that even though people say they're a New Testament church, there are many churches that try to impose elements of the law upon people in order to get them to perform or to do what they feel needs to be done. So even though there's somewhat of a different ministry today in relation to telling people they're not under the law, we need to make people understand that regardless of what it is they allow to have dominion over them, that within itself is a law. Now I want to look at Romans chapter 7 because Paul uses some interesting analogies here. He really uses two. He uses the analogy of life and death in relation to being under the law and not under the law. And he uses the analogy of marriage. He says there in verse 1, Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. Then down in verse 4 he says, wherefore, my brethren, you are become dead to the law, how? By the body of Christ. There were those that the Apostle Paul was writing to, no doubt, and had preached to on numerous occasions, that would fit exactly what he's talking about when he says, know that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. What's he talking about? When there's a law system in effect, and that person is alive, and for example, there's a system of laws and a governing system in our country. You go out and commit a crime. You're put in prison or in jail, and you're waiting the trial. Why? Because the law says this is the way it has to be. Now, you just have to disregard all the stuff about the lawyers and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about in the way it's written down. This is the law, and on a certain date you're set to go to trial, and you'll be tried in accordance with the law. And you'll be punished in accordance with the law. Before you have time to go to trial, you die. Now listen, folks, I'm not trying to be facetious or outrageous, but you're not going to take that corpse down to the courthouse and set it up in a seat and try that dead man. Why? Because he's dead. There's no longer, that law no longer has dominion over him. Hold on here and look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, I'm sorry, it's chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3. Verse 3 says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now if you go back to verse 1, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ. Well, that indicates life, doesn't it? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So there's a concept here. There's a concept that when a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they become dead to the law, they become dead to the sin and so forth, as we're going to read in Romans chapter 6 in a moment, and alive unto God. Paul said there in verse 3, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, when you trusted Christ, you died to that which you were, and you've been raised again in Christ to walk in newness of life. When Christ died at Calvary, we were identified in His death. When He was buried, we were identified in His burial. And when He was resurrected, we were identified with Him in resurrection. And thus, he can say, the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. Wherefore, my brethren, you're become dead to the law. How? By the body of Christ. So he uses the analogy of death. But not only that, look back in Romans chapter 7. There's the analogy there of marriage that Paul uses to demonstrate the point. Now, I know a lot of times people go to Romans chapter 7 and they will use these verses to try to promote the idea that the church, the body of Christ, is the bride of Christ. So a lot of people believe that. And I personally do not, but that's not really the issue here. I'm saying that when we read Romans chapter 7, the idea there is not to present us as the bride of Christ, which I believe is Israel, but it's to use an analogy of a person being, a woman being under the law and being bound to her husband until the death of her husband. Notice what it says there in Romans chapter 7. Verse 2, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. In other words, back there under that law system, a woman was bound to her husband, and he says she's bound as long as she's alive. Now, but notice what he says. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So what takes place? A woman is bound by the law of her husband, as people are bound by the law of Moses. Those in time past, under that system, all their life long, the Bible says, they were subject to that system of do's and don'ts and the laws and the judgments and the statutes. It said that you are to obey these things and do these things, and thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt do thus and so, so forth. So he says, the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. Verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, our relationship to Christ, as I said, I do not believe this is saying that we are the bride of Christ. I believe we are the body of Christ. And I believe there's a picture of that in Ephesians chapter 5, being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Let's look back there for a moment in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, the verses generally used here more so in relation to the relationship of husband and wife in the natural sense. But notice what it said in Ephesians 5:23: For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Notice there that he refers to the flesh there. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Say, how can that be? Well, verse 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 31 said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. How can that be? How is it that we can be one with Christ? For they that are after the flesh... There in verse 30, for we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. In verse 32... this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So there is a relationship that is formed between the members of the body and Christ himself that is likened unto the relationship between a husband and wife when they become one flesh, the Bible says, when they come together as one. And there's an awful lot involved in that, but I want you to understand that our relationship with Christ has to do with our trusting in him, being baptized into his body, and time again, Paul refers to us being in Christ. And that in Christ position is that which releases us and frees us from that law system, from that system of performance in order to be accepted. The Bible says we're accepted in the blood. Again, it's always in in Christ, in the blood. All that we have is in Him. Now go back to Romans chapter 7 there. He says that we've been married to another. And in verse 4, Romans 7, 4,